You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Tommy G, Tommy Gazzola, joins us. And Tom, a birdie told me I was supposed to... Did you have the golf game of your life today? Were you playing a par three? What happened?
Just had to get that in there, didn't you? You had to get that in there. Best round of my life today, boys. And I didn't crack 80. Ended up right at 80. And shout out to Joe and Karen, lovely couple that we met and played with. And my good buddy Justin Dana, I hadn't seen him in years, and we decided to get out for a round at Legends. And guys, I shot an 80, 39-41. It felt really good, but I have yet to crack 80 yet, but getting there. So promising. Feels good. Really good start to the day, for sure.
Did you have a makeable putt for 79 on 18?
Of course I did. Of course I did. I missed my birdie putt.
Oh. Well, hey, there you go. It's all right.
Yeah.
Choked up a little bit. That's okay, though. You know, that's a really good one. Once you get to 80, now you know you can get that level, right? One stroke isn't that much to eliminate. Like, it is, but it isn't. I remember the first time I broke 80, it was huge. But it's not that big a deal. I mean, like going from 80 to 79 is a big deal. 90 to 80, yep. That's a big deal.
Struds, it's crazy because it's like it's the thing that kind of torments and haunts me. But to know that it's like right on the verge, the cusp, and I try not to think about it when I'm in my round. But I hear, you know, buddies and friends and just guys around the golf courses saying, ah, yeah, I shot a 76 today. Ah, I shot a 78. Could have had this stroke. Could have had that stroke. Could have brought it down closer to par. And I'm always so envious of them. And I admire those golfers who can play that well. One day, guys, it's going to get there. But it's to know we're on the cusp is a really reassuring feeling, though.
Now, speaking of the gift that keeps on giving, we were talking about Strutty's Godfather 4, Chirp. Well, for fantasy football people, I don't know if Strutty or Connor or anybody in a lot of their names, but Bishop Sycamore is one of the most popular fantasy football team names this year. Of course, essentially like the fake high school program that duped ESPN to get on TV. So a lot of people are going with the Bishop Sycamore team name.
Guys, I mean, we talked about this story and how they duped ESPN and how ESPN didn't verify if this was a legitimate post-grad school or football academy. They fired their coach a few days later. The guys on the broadcast were like, well, we don't know. We feel bad. They played 2 days ago. They're getting pumped 58-0 on national television. Now the joke just keeps on. It's a running gag, and 10,000 teams on Yahoo Fantasy alone, never mind the independent leagues, the CBS leagues, every other league, are called Bishop Sycamore. And everyone knows that this is a running gag. And what's crazy is this story isn't going away. Add to the fact that it has this fantasy football spin to it. This is unbelievable. Like, their new coach, after their last coach got fired after that game, their new coach said, we shouldn't be called a school. We're a post-grad football academy. We haven't been accepted by the Ohio School Board or anything like that. They're just siphoning money from these parents. It's sad. It's funny. It's painful all at the same time. And here we are 2 weeks later still talking about it. And guess what? Guys, it's not going away anytime soon.
Well, no, Michael Strahan and his company have secured the rights to they're going to delve into the story of the fired head coach, Roy Johnson, and what happened. So they're going to make a documentary about this.
Unbelievable.
Which almost, you know, like it almost seems like you're encouraging people to do stupid things because then you'll get a documentary made about you.
Oh, I mean... documentary, and then there's also, I think, a screen play that's going to be written by Michael Strahan's company as well. Like, this guy, this Roy Johnson, okay, like, I'm sure he has a football pedigree. I'm sure he's a coach of some level. But all of a sudden, so he gets fired, and he's going to be benefiting from this financially. This story is wild. And you're right, Greg. It's like, does this encourage some zany, out to lunch, crazy people out there to try to pursue shams like this and steal money essentially from people trying to get their kids to pursue a dream. That's the unfortunate thing in all of this. Like, yes, this story is absolutely bonkers and crazy. I'm sure people, I'll watch it, absolutely. But what happens if other people in other sports out there try to turn a quick buck and they get these crazy ideas thinking they're going to be the next Roy Johnson? That's the sad part of it and the fallout from this too.
Talking all things sports with Tommy Gazzola for the Gazzola Chronicles. Thomas, still some pretty decent RFAs out there floating around in the NHL. In your opinion, which team is more desperate or is more in need to get their big player signed up? Is it Hughes and Pettersson in Vancouver, or do you think it's Brady Tkachuk in Ottawa?
Ooh, I mean, I think just for the sheer fact that Pettersson and Hughes are a massive part of the Canucks and what they're trying to do going forward, absolutely. I think that is undeniably one that we have to pay attention to, especially covering the Pacific Division study. You could look at Minnesota. I kind of appreciate how Bill Guerin has approached Kirill Kaprizov and says, if he wants to go to the KHL and threaten us, go ahead. This is how we're going to handle this situation. I kind of admire that. And then, yeah, in Ottawa, Tkachuk, that's a big one. He's obviously going to be an engine for that team. And if it goes, he's going to have to be a big part of it. Dahlin's still hanging out there, too. Like, there are some big names that are out there. Hey, Gregs, your nephew's got to get a deal done, too, by the way. Hopefully that gets done. Yeah, well, sorry to bring that up, but there's
just
good players
it'll,
out there.
It'll get done. How about that?
Okay, good.
He's not holding out? Can I coach you on that?
Yeah, I can guarantee you that 100%. It's pretty much done.
Is he the same draft year as Yamamoto?
No, Yamamoto's a late birthday, so he was a year after.
Okay.
So, yeah. But he's in the same boat. He doesn't have arbitration rights or anything like that. So it's pretty kind of whatever. So, 1 or 2 year deal, and then you move on. But the interesting thing about, remember all the storylines? Oh, Kaprizov's going to go play in the KHL. Well, here we are. It's September 9th.
No.
He's not playing the KHL. You don't want to know why? Because they had no money.
No.
That was one of those where the report came out. Mm-hmm. There was zero truth to it. And people came out right away and was like, what are you talking about? They don't have the money to pay him this. Like, they have the money to pay him $1 million or $2 million.
Sure.
He doesn't have much negotiating power at the end of the day. He had a good season. They really like him. But I don't think, you know what? I honestly could see why Minnesota, like, going 3 or 4 year deal with him, not a massive number, that might be better for Minnesota, to be honest. I need to see more from this guy before I want to pay him $9 or $10 million.
That's reasonable. And let's see if he can sustain what he did, build off of what he did after a tremendous rookie season. But I don't know Bill Guerin, guys. But I always liked his demeanor when he was an Oiler. I followed him throughout the rest of his career. Now as a GM, where he's like, yeah, go ahead, fine. If you think you got a better deal, go for it, pal. Like, totally called the bluff. And like you said, look at the timing now and look where we're at. I can appreciate that and the way he's handled it. But Strutty, to answer your question, I think the Canucks, that's a big one. Two key pillars up front and on the back end for them.
Yeah, it's a really big deal, and I think you guys are right. Like, with Billy Guerin, I think he's absolutely played this well. You look at all the commentaries, like, we're constantly talking, we're communicating, and all that. Like, he's really, like, again, in my experience, those guys from the States, especially those older guys, they're really street smart. And it's not to say they aren't smart in the boardroom, but they're really street smart. They know how to read people. You think of guys like Gar Snow, Billy Guerin, Tkachuk, all those guys. They're really, really street smart. So I think they got it nailed down. You know, a lot of texts we're getting, it seems daily, about Ennis. Do you think Ennis is a guy that owners should look at on a PTO?
Strutty, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. And I know he's been skating here in town at the informal skates with the guys. I mean, obviously, there was a decent rapport between him and the organization. A guy kind of going into the twilight of his career as he approaches his mid-30s. And I don't mind it at all. He had a good little run, I think, with Kara and Shore. That line put together a couple of good weeks where they were producing, giving the Oilers some secondary scoring at a time where they needed it, obviously. We know that that's something that they had to address, and we think that they have. Yeah, I don't mind a PTO. If that's the best offer for a guy like Tyler Ennis, and he wants to try to make a go of it and seize a window of opportunity here, and the Oilers throw him a PTO, I have no qualms with that whatsoever. I've got a lot of time and respect for a guy like Tyler Ennis.
Is there room?
I mean, probably not. Just to be realistic, probably not.
And that's
right?
So if Tyler Ennis is coming, like, I think, you know, at some point you got to find out what you got in some of your left wingers. We know the top end, but, you know, guys further down the lineup that are coming in, you know, who knows if there's going to be an injury or not. So I just look, I'm like, you know, where is he fitting? Like Tyler Benson, Devin Shore, we know Holloway. Now, I'm guessing starts with the minors, but, you know,
Perlini.
Yeah, Perlini. Yeah, so there you're already on the side. You have three guys. Now, I know he can move around. He has a proven track record. But I wonder if they don't bring him and say, okay, you can come skate here if he doesn't get another one. They can kind of show what they can do, or he can show what he can do and maybe gets off from another team. And again, I like Tyler Ennis, but, you know, it's one of those things. You're kind of getting to that point in your career where, you know, there's younger players that have more upside at this point in his career.
Look what Chris Versteeg did when he came to camp with the Oilers in 16. He turned out, right, he was going to get squeezed out too, likely. He had a great camp for the Oilers. And the last day before regular season, he signs that deal with the Calgary Flames, and he ends up extending his NHL career by a couple of years. It's an opportunity. Maybe Ennis tries to do the same thing. I don't know, but it looks like a tight window with the Oilers. There's a few guys probably that the Oilers are looking at that want to compete for those last few jobs up front, right?
Yeah, like signing Tyler Ennis to a PTO doesn't hurt you, right? Mm-hmm. I don't.
Want him taking spots? Like, do you want him taking away ice time from Holloway or Benson? Like for games?
Well, I guess
exhibition
you could,
games.
You can look at it the other way. They have 8 exhibition games this year, Struts. Right?
How many would you want to see?
But they don't have a ton of guys signed. Remember, right? They've only got 42 contracts, right? So
really?
It'll be 43, I guess, when Yamamoto signs. So I think they look at that and say, okay, we got 8 preseason games. You know what? Tyler Ennis is going to go to the Seattle game. You know, he's going to go to those, and I hate to say it, but that's, and you've talked about it before,
100%.
Veterans. Some veterans don't want to go on PTOs when they know they're just camp fodder.
Yeah.
And so that's the risk. Even though Ennis has been here, it could be one where it benefits them because, well, now we don't have to send Hyman. We don't have to send Nugent Hopkins. Yeah. Ennis could play 6 preseason games.
See, I want to see if I'm the Oilers, I want to see Tyler Benson play in 5 or 6.
Yeah, I agree.
Get him in there. Let's and you know what? He's killing penalties, Griggs. He's
100%.
He's doing all these things. Put him in there and don't play him with the sixth line. Like, give him a chance with some legitimate wingers to see what he can do. Some legitimate centers. So I don't want to. So your point about the PTO and the guys in need, I think that's really well made because, you know, the top guys are all going to play what, 4 games, maybe 5. Then you get down to that middle tier. Does Josh Archibald play 5 or 6? Derek Ryan, you know, does he play 5? Puljujarvi, how many of those guys are playing? So your point's well taken. I think that I hadn't considered that, but I don't want a PTO coming and taking time away from Tyler Benson because you have to figure out, or Perlini even for that matter, Tommy.
Mm-hmm. That's fair, Struds. And I bet guys like Perlini and Benson want to play 5, 6, maybe 7, although that could burn them out. Preseason games to try to win that spot. It's going to be a dogfight. I like this because this is going to be year 14 for me covering this team. Boys, I know you guys have been around a bit longer, but when was the last time we really saw these battles for the last few positions and it mattered because guys are fighting for their careers? Whereas before, it was almost like by default, and then whoever was left for positions 10, 11, 12, 13, it was guys that you're like, you go around the league and you're like, these guys might not even make most of these rosters. And so it's a different scenario now, which I think puts them in a good spot.
Well, here's the major difference. For the longest time, a guy like Dylan Holloway would come into camp, and he'd be penciled. He would be in pen to be in your top 6. In pen. Yeah. Oh, yeah, this guy's going to make a difference for us. And it's a joke. And so, yes.
100%.
Now, Dylan Holloway might not even make the team out of camp. Mm-hmm. And if he does make the team, it's an added bonus. If he doesn't, it doesn't impact you. So that's a big difference for them for sure. Tommy, congrats on your new best round of your career. Yeah. Hopefully you can break that this weekend.
Onwards and upwards, boys. Always
there
a pleasure.
We go.